Welcome to the PreparedX Podcast, your complete source for crisis, emergency, business continuity, and security preparedness interviews, news, and much more. Now, your host, he creates chaos for a living, Rob Burton.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 35 of the PreparedX Podcast. In this one, I will be talking about the crisis management team's role during a violent intruder or some other physical event that may impact the organization, its employees, or its assets. So just think about those for a few minutes as I'm talking about this. Think about your own organization and think about the physical threats that may impact the organization and may require your crisis management team to come together. So that could be some kind of event like a workplace violence event. We've seen those certainly here in the US, fairly common and other parts of the world, where it's typically over in a short period of time. Some kind of fire or explosion at one of your locations, if you have facilities that have operations, again, could be over fairly quickly or could go on for quite some time if it's an explosion that happens, impacts your employees, and then the fire starts to spread throughout a location. So again, you know, we've seen those, recently from an operational standpoint. We've seen them in London, tragically, at the apartments, the flats where they caught fire. Tragically, many people died. Fire went on for quite some time. And then weather events, so floods, hurricanes, landslides, other natural events, weather events that could impact your organization and require the crisis team to come together. Terrorist attack, obviously we've seen quite a few in Europe, some less sophisticated attacks that seem to be quite popular at the moment. You know, what would you do as a team if you had employees caught up in a European city? We saw Belgium, the train station attacks recently. We've seen hotels almost 10 years ago, if you remember the Mumbai attacks, which I'll talk about later on. So those hotels that were attacked and train stations, and obviously the city was at siege for several days. So what would your crisis team do in those types of events? And then any other significant event that may harm your employees or others that are associated with your organization, as well as any of your critical assets, how would that impact you? How would the team come together and what role would they play? So that's what I'm going to be discussing today. And so preparing your crisis team for a, let's call it a long term. It might be short term. But if you start to think about the worst case scenarios and you start to think about, how long could they go on for, if we plan and we think about those, then we're hopefully ready for, those events that don't last as long. And we're better prepared to, be able to react quicker, make better decisions based on the information that we're receiving, and hopefully be well organized ultimately when we come together as a crisis management team. So preparing your organization for some kind of event, think about those events that keep you awake at night, and think about some of the considerations that you have to make. What will each team member contribute during some kind of event like this? With, again, being some kind of event that's over quickly, obviously they may not be impactful in the early stages of an event like that, an active shooter situation that's over fairly quickly. You may just be gathering the team still together, or you may have the incident may literally be over. So then it becomes about, how do you manage the ongoing, the human resources element? How do you manage the ongoing communication element, which would be a large part of that type of attack? So you're still going to need to come together, even though the event may be over. But again, what about if the event lasts for longer? What if it's, some other kind of scenario that requires you to come to the table, pick up the phone, get on the crisis line and start to manage the event? So start to think about that. How might your team members react if, they've got co-workers or friends that are caught up in the incident? So you've got somebody on the team who actually knows somebody who's been caught up with the event. How may they respond? So, we're going to think about the human element to these situations as well. And then is your team efficient enough to be able to react quickly, make decisions, and manage the various stakeholders? Just think about the stakeholders who might be involved. Do you have a stakeholder list that you can pull out quickly and communicate and coordinate with, you know, based on the event that's in front of you? And, you know, start to ask some of these questions early on in your planning phase. This will help you as a crisis management team to come together. And when you do come together, hopefully you've asked, some of these questions have already been answered and you have a plan in place and you can start to very quickly, you know, work through the various challenges that may be in front of you. So communication is critical in the early stages of these types of events. If you can imagine, it's 3:30 in the morning, 0330 hours, and you get a call from the corporate security office stating that there's been an attack in a Paris, in a hotel, in a conference center where you have several senior leaders attending a leadership seminar. So you're, you know, it's 3:30, you're on the east coast of the States, it's 8:30, 9:30 a.m. in the morning in Paris, and there's an attack on a conference center where there seems to be several corporate senior leaders attending some kind of seminar, and you have several of your leadership members in that seminar, in that hotel, in that location. What's your initial thought? It's 3:30 in the morning. You know, you're the leader of the corporate crisis team. How will you pull the team together? What are your challenges in those first few moments? How are you going to get the team to come together? Who do you need for that initial few moments to, you know, make decisions? You know, what literally do you do to get those first few people on that call to start to coordinate the team? How does the team come together? Is it a crisis? When do you make that decision? What kind of information do you need for you to be able to classify it as a crisis? What are the other activities that you follow immediately? Again, the first few moments will seem chaotic. Are you organized enough to be able to, you know, calm down, take a second to breathe, and then, you know, make decisions based on the information that's being fed to you? You know, you have some immediate actions. Do you have a situation room? Do you have some kind of war room or an emergency operations center where you can start someone activating that? You know, get the room ready for the morning when we come in, or prepare the room now. We need to come into the room at 4 a.m., 3, 4, 5 in the morning to get things, because this sounds much, you know, more serious than we initially thought. We've not heard back from those three senior leaders. Or we've heard from one of them, the other two we've not heard from, and the event is unfolding. So what do we need to do? How do we need to prepare? And the situation can be very overwhelming if you not have a plan in place in terms of how you would respond. And again, it could be any type of event. Your response to an event as a crisis management team, if you have a process in place on how you would respond, you know, make sure you follow that process, and hopefully that will calm things down and you will follow the various processes that you've practiced through training and exercises, which I'll touch on some more here. So what responding resources might you need? They need to be ready at all times, but if you had a plan in place, if you did your horizon scanning and said, well, you know, this is slightly, this could be a risk for us. We have half the SLT, the senior leadership team, or we have a number of them attending this event, wherever it may be. We mentioned Paris before as the simulated scenario that we're discussing here. Is that a risk for us? So 2 months ahead of time, we knew about this event. You know, the corporate security officer, the company security officer, the CSO has mentioned this as part of the horizon scanning that you do on a quarterly basis. I'll talk some more about horizon scanning, and I've certainly touched on it in previous podcasts. It's been identified as a potential risk because you've got that many senior leaders in one location at one time. And therefore, you may have put a plan together in the event of something happening, whatever that may be. You have a plan in place in terms of being able to react. What do you do? How do you communicate with them? How do you coordinate them with them? What decisions do you help them make based on the situation that's unfolding? So hopefully you've put some thought around that because you knew these senior leaders were going to be in Paris over this period of time. Did you validate that plan when you had when you went through the horizon scanning process and identified it as a potential risk? Did you conduct a tabletop exercise, or did you at least get around the table with the crisis management team and start to talk about your contingency plans? What would we do if this happened? Obviously, in this instance, in this scenario that we're talking about, security would play a large role. But then you would also have the other players around the table as well, depending on your cross-functional makeup of the team. Human resources, legal, communications clearly would be involved. Obviously, you as the leader need to make sure the relevant players are around the table. So there are many questions that you can ask in advance of these types of day-to-day operations that take place, these routine business meetings or whatever it may be, these operations that are ongoing. And so you can have these discussions ahead of time. And if it is deemed that it could be a potential risk having all these people in one location, then we can at least start to talk about if something does happen, you know, this is how we're going to react. And hopefully you've have a plan in place where you can just come to the table very quickly, get on the phone and start to coordinate and be. And again, I mentioned it earlier on, you know, it's about being organized in those first few moments. I touched on horizon scanning. And so horizon scanning is essentially, you know, looking forward into the future. What events do we have going on? Where are these events taking place? Are there any changes operationally? Any changes to a physical location? You know, are we having a certain amount of other people at one of our operational sites, one of our facilities, due to a change in infrastructure? You know, what challenges that does that present? So horizon scanning is an important tool, and we'd certainly recommend that it happens at least quarterly, where you have a discussion with your crisis management team. You sit around the table and you say, what is happening to us in the future that may present some risk to us? And if it seems like, you know, we may have some challenges based on, you know, what we've identified as a potential risk, can we put some contingency plans in place to, you know, to be ready? So, you know, again, using the Paris example, we've got the executives there, but because we went through the planning process, we knew how to react as a team. We knew who to call. We knew what resources were available in Paris. We knew what resources were available elsewhere to enable us to support the response to, again, some kind of event that's going on. So so it becomes then about the ongoing coordination and communications. And, you know, using one previous attack, an actual attack that took place, for those of you that remember the 2008 Mumbai attacks, so it's almost 10 years ago now, there's plenty of information available online about this event that took place, and it lasted 4 days. Much of it was televised, certainly after the first few hours, it was televised live. Sadly, I think it was over 160 people were killed and 300 more were injured. Multiple locations throughout the city. So if you can imagine, you know, you have employees in this city that they're on business, or you have an office there. You have local employees and then other people from your organization that are there doing something at that moment in time. And this city is under siege. They attacked the train station. They attacked, I believe it was a cinema. They also attacked a Jewish house. They attacked a gas station, and then the big attack that took place that was certainly well televised was the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel. And actually, I visited that hotel or that area about 4 or 5 years ago, and it's certainly a wide open hotel that sits right there on the ocean. And so, you know, very, very interesting if you'd start to look at this event from a crisis management standpoint and think about how would we manage that event within our corporate, you know, boundaries of a crisis management team. You know, that went on for 4 days. So, you know, we often think of the active shooter situation being over in minutes or sometimes seconds. You know, sometimes they last longer, but typically over fairly quickly. But this type of event, you know, went on for 4 days. So how would we manage that? I did actually speak to a lady, actually a friend, a number of years ago, who worked for an organization who had employees there at the time. She wasn't there, but they had employees there, and they were staying in a different different hotel. But it became very confusing. This event happened, I believe it was 9 p.m., or it started at 9 p.m. In the evening. And so they were looking at the television and they were seeing the international feed from, you know, CNN or whatever news channel they were watching. And they were watching this attack happening in the same city that they were in. And so, you know, they needed information. What do we do? Do we stay in our rooms? They didn't know what to do. They didn't have a plan. And so it became very confusing. Do we lock ourselves in the rooms? We're not in a hotel that's anywhere near the location that's being attacked right now. But what if there are other attacks on other hotels? Do we leave? Where do we go if we do leave? So they were looking for information and direction as well. And their organization certainly learned a lot of lessons from this themselves in their employees on what they should do in certain situations. And, you know, having that support team, because that's what you are, you become, in these particular incidents, you become a support for the response to that event. So you need to be well coordinated. You need to have regular communications. Obviously, you need information. Right, you need accurate information that's coming in from a variety of different locations. You need to touch base with stakeholders on a regular basis, who are the critical stakeholders based on the incident. And if you do have access to the first responders, depending, again, it's very difficult. If it's international, you probably don't. But if it's in your country of origin and you do have good relationships with those first responders, then hopefully you can start to receive, you know, and start to communicate two ways with those first responders. And so consider how you would coordinate and support your other in-country resources. So you may have employees that are directly caught up in it. You may have an asset that's, you know, being caught up with the event, you know, a facility or location. But what about the other resources that you have in that location? You may have employees locally. Employees may have family locally. You know, you may have other assets locally that may be there to support you. You know, so indirectly, you know, even though they may not be caught up directly with the event, you know, they need information too. They may have good information too. So do you have a team that meets within that country? You may have a country crisis management team. So you may have a direct line into the country in terms of information sharing and obviously coordination. So if you don't have an in-country team, but you have a decent-sized operation in that country, then maybe you should consider having a crisis management team within that location. Do you have a crisis coordinator who can get the EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, or Situation Room up and running quickly? We mentioned it's 3:30, 4 in the morning. You might be virtual for a period of time, but then it's always good to gather around the table as quickly as many of those crisis management team members as possible. Again, some people may be traveling. Some people may be hard to get a hold of at certain times. So how do we come together and how do we get organized? So if you have a crisis coordinator, someone who is setting up that environment for you and getting you the latest information and preparing for your initial briefing cycle. I've touched on briefing cycles before in previous podcasts and certainly as well in some articles that we've written. So, and I'll talk about those where you can find those at the end of the podcast here. So again, the crisis coordinator becomes, you know, very critical member of the team. So he or she may be one of the first few that's been communicated with in those first few moments of the security team making that phone call. Again, using the Paris, simulated scenario that we touched on earlier on. You know, that could be one of the first phone calls to the crisis coordinator as well as the crisis leader. You know, let's get the team together. Even if it pans out to be nothing and our senior leaders become, you know, check in safe, it's always good to at least still bring the team together, make sure we've got all our bases covered. Is everybody okay? Yes, okay. Then we can, break the team down and send everybody away. Or if it gets gradually worse, we've at least got the team to, or if it gets drastically worse quicker, then we've got the team together and we're ready to go. One thing I'd like to touch on as well is preparing the team to deal with the ugliest aspects of such an attack. So you've got people missing, they're unaccounted for, people may be killed. You may have heard about this through the various information resources that are coming into you. And so, as a crisis management team, are you ready to have those conversations? Many corporations find it very difficult, certainly in the early stages of crisis planning, to have those conversations. But it's important that you have them prior to any of these events happening. It would be very difficult to sit around the table and make some decisions on, you know, how do we make decisions based on this violent event that's happened to our organization, to our employees, to our staff members or our family, you know, who are, you know, in our community. You know, if you've got a community, your organization is thought of highly in the community and you've got these events unfolding and you've not thought about how you would make decisions, how you would inform family members that, you know, you've lost, they've lost one of their employees due to this event or multiple employees due to this event. Again, any type of event, we've mentioned, you know, violent intruder, but what if there's been an accident that's happened and you have a facility in a small community, you're going to have family members show up, you know, how do you deal with family members? The media is going to show up. How are you going to manage the media? Those types of things. So it's good to have those conversations ahead of time, at least start to think about how we would plan on, you know, dealing with the human element. You know, that's both within your crisis management team, who again have been selected for the various leadership roles on that team, but also how do we deal with the rest of the organization in dealing with those those types of conversations that need to be had when something tragic happens. So anyway, to be ready for such event, crisis management teams need to prepare through a series of training and exercises. I think I touched on that earlier on. It's really important that we gather as often as we possibly can. You know, again, we mentioned quarterly meetings for crisis management teams to do horizon scanning. But if you can get together monthly and have a different agenda item for each month, put, you know, a 1 hour on your schedule each month for the crisis, at least 1 hour for the crisis management team to come together and start to talk about your coordination efforts, start to talk about your plans, start to talk about how you would be notified. How do you clearly identify that this is a crisis? Who makes that call that it is a crisis and what actions happen after that? So all these things that you can have planned ahead of time, they can be discussed in these meetings so that when something does happen, your coordination of the event, the decision-making, the communications are hopefully smoother, and they won't be because it'll seem chaotic, and certainly in a fast-paced moving event. But hopefully we can iron out a lot of those details ahead of time to make things as smooth as they possibly can be. So that's it really in a nutshell. And just to summarize, really, as a crisis management team, you know, what's your role during a physical event? So, you know, we've touched on those scenarios. You know, have a think about your own organization. There may be other scenarios that keep you up at night. Start to think about your crisis management team's role. What's your individual role on the team? Do you have a crisis management team, or do you think you need a crisis management team? You know, it's all good questions to ask of your organization. And then start to think about how would you coordinate an event? How would you coordinate a local event versus an event that's overseas, international somewhere, where you have, again, a presence of, you know, a physical presence of employees, or you have, you know, some other kind of asset overseas that you are responsible for. So these are all good questions to ask. And if you're a refined team, hopefully you're practicing through simulated exercises. We certainly do a lot of simulated exercises here at PreparedX. And I'm hoping that this podcast has been of some use to you today. And so that's it. That's all for episode 35 of the PreparedX podcast. If you are interested, we do currently have the Emergency Operations Center e-learning course available, and I believe there's 50% off that course right now. If you go to preparedx.net and look under the products and services menu for that course, you'll find it in there. Again, that's preparedx.net. And if you look under the products and services menu, you'll find that course available, the Emergency Operations Center e-learning course. That's all from me today. Thanks for your time, and hopefully you have a safe day. Take care.